الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة العنكبوت اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لندخلنهم في الصالحين ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله فإذا أوذي في الله جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله ولئن جاء نصر من ربك ليقولن إنا كنا معكم أوليس الله بأعلم بما في صدور العالمين وليعلمن الله الذين آمنوا وليعلمن المنافقين وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا اتبعوا سبيلنا ولنحمل خطاياكم وما هم بحاملين من خطاياهم من شيء إنهم لكاذبون وليحملن أثقالهم وأثقالا مع أثقالهم وليسألن يوم القيامة عما كانوا يفترون ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فلبس فيهم ألف سنة إلا 50 عاما فأخذهم الطوفان وهم ظالمون فأنجيناه وأصحاب السفينة وجعلناها آية للعالمين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا أن نجاهد في سبيلك بأموالنا وأنفسنا اللهم أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وتوفنا مسلمين آمین یا رب العالمین. In the previous session we have studied seven ayat of the first section of Surah Al-Ankabut. One ayah consisted of حروف مقطعات only. So actually six ayat. And you must have noted the beautiful division. First two ayat a sort of warning, sign of displeasure. Then two ayat, encouragement, sort of reassurance. Then one ayah, having a note of warning. And again one ayah, that was a reassurance, encouragement. So these two things are going on side by side. Now, وَوَسْتَيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. A special problem which the youth were facing at that time. There were many teenagers who accepted Islam. Now they were under the pressure from their parents that we have rights over you. How come you leave our religion and the religion of our ancestors? We have rights, we have brought you up. You were born of us. We have fed you, we have taken care of you up till now. So, with this appeal, they were forcing those teenagers to come back to the religion of their ancestors. And it was absolutely clear that those teenagers who accepted Islam at that age were of very good nature, the best of intentions. How could they ignore the rights of their parents over them? So there was a dilemma, what to do? On the one side, rights of Allah. On the other side, rights of parents. And I have told many a time, and we have seen in this very selected course of study, at least in 5 places in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rights of parents immediately after his own rights. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. We studied in the second section of Surah Al-Luqman, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Have gratitude for me, be grateful to me and to your parents. Now when these two rights collided, what to do? This was a practical problem. And actually we have studied this problem once before in Surah Al-Luqman. The same ayah appears there in a rather extended form. وَوَسَّيَنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْلًا عَلَىٰ وَهْلٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ وَإِلَّيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It appears that Surah Al-Luqman was revealed before this surah. Because there the subject has been discussed in detail. Here it is included again. Why? Because the context, it was also a sort of persecution. The most important example is of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the topmost 10 sahaba, 10 companions, Ashar al-Mubashara, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a teenager when he accepted Islam. His father had died long before. Mother had brought him up with utmost love, affection, care, everything. Now that mother declared, I will not eat anything, I will not drink anything, I will commit suicide if Saad doesn't come back to the religion of his father and ancestors. Now just imagine that. What a hard situation he was faced with. But here is a clear injunction of Allah. My rights are superior. All other rights are below my rights. As I told you, shirk. If you obey anyone which entails disobedience to Allah, it is shirk. Whether it is your own nafs or any other body. Or any other person. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. A very broad principle enunciated very briefly by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There can be no obedience to anyone who is from the creatures. In which there is a disobedience to the creator. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. The same way you can love your parents, you can love your children, you can love your country, but love of Allah has to remain above every other love. Otherwise, it's shirk. Ta'is abdul dinar wa abdul dirham. If you love wealth more than Allah, that is, you are earning through haram means, it means you love wealth more than Allah. It is shirk. Abdul dinar. You might claim that my name is Abdul Rahman, but actually you are Abdul Dinar. If you are earning through haram means. So the same is the clear injunction here. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We did enjoin upon man to be good or to do good to his parents. This is nature, human nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributing it to himself. We have done it. We have made your nature. And that in that nature we have put it. That one should do good to his parents. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. But if they made jihad against you, note here, this jihad, which we think is only for Muslims or Mormons, it is for Mushriks also. Whosoever is striving for any cause, he is a mujahid for that cause. Muhammad and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they were waging jihad for the cause of tawheed. And the mushrikeen, Abu Jahl and so on, they were waging jihad for the sake of shirk. For the cause of shirk. The Muslims were waging jihad for the cause of Allah. And they were waging jihad for the cause of Lat and Uzza and Humut and Manat. People have been waging jihad for the sake of Ishtirakiya. For all these, any ideology, any cause that you accept and you adopt, that you strive hard for its propagation and for its making it supreme, establishing it. It is jihad for that cause. So these mushrik parents, kafir parents, they were also mujahidin. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ If both of them strive against you and pressurize you, لَتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ That you should associate with me partners or equals about whom you have no knowledge. What does it mean? There can be only two types of knowledge. I discussed it when we were discussing the ayah of Surah Bani Israel. وَلَا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا I give you, there are two types of knowledge. Either revealed knowledge from Allah or acquired knowledge through your senses, through your reasoning, through your intellect, your observations, the sense data that you gather, and the brain then processes. This is the computer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed here. These are two sources of knowledge. And there is no basis for shirk in either of the two. Neither intellect can accept shirk. Neither science can accept shirk. Science is proceeding day by day towards the total tawheed. About 50, 60, 70 years before, there were two categories, energy separate, matter separate, matter and energy. Now they are one. Matter has just evaporated. Where is matter? It's all energy. Now there were theories that there are four types of energies. Now they are being reduced day by day to three, to two and a half. And finally, the science will lead you only one. Then the science tells you the whole system is a totalitarian system. There cannot be two wills, two commands. Impossible. So actually, neither in sciences, physical sciences, nor in philosophical sciences, philosophy also takes you. Either you are realist or you are idealist. There are only two shades of philosophy. The father of idealism, Plato. The father of realism, Aristotle. There can be no third field of philosophy. For the realist, matter is the beginning and the end. And for the idealist, it is not matter, beyond matter something, but one. Everything has started from something one. So actually philosophy, physical sciences, then the revealed knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. No book can be presented on the surface of the earth, neither with the Hindus, nor with the mushriks of Makkah, nor with anyone who can say that in the scripture which we think was revealed, someone has been declared to be a partner or associate with Allah. None. So this is actually what is meant by لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ There's no knowledge whatsoever. No knowledge can accept it. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا Clear injection. Don't obey them. إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ Towards me is the return of all of you. فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ And then we shall apprise you of everything that you had been doing. The parents will also come before us, and the progeny and children will also come before us. Everything will be settled. All accounts will be settled in our court on the last day, the day of judgment. Now this was a very sort of cult type of command. Don't obey your parents. Let your mother die. What did it mean for Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas? You know, a thing in generalized terms doesn't appear to be so strong. I have particularized this. What this ayah would have meant for Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Let your mother die. If she dies in this cause, let her die. You cannot obey her command. He might have been loving you, he might have been taking care of you, he might have the maximum affection for you. Then you have all the respect for her. But here, فَلَا تُتَيْهُمَا Let her die. This is curse type of command. But now comes the encouraging type. Don't think, oh Waqqas, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, that this Islam and Iman has separated you from your family. It has joined you also. With whom? With Muhammad. Allah has given you a better company. Now you are in the company of Abu Bakr. Now you are in the company of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Uthman. A new fraternity. A new brotherhood. An absolutely new relationship. Ideological relationship. Relationship based on ideas, causes. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ فِي الصَّالِحِينَ And for those who have come to believe that they are fulfilling the practical demands of Iman. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ I mentioned before, described before what it means. At that time, when these ayat were revealed, لَنُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ We shall surely bless them with the company of the righteous, our righteous bondsmen. Here, please remember that ayah number 69 of Surah An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا Rejoice! Be merry. Now you are related to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now you are related to Abu Bakr Siddiqin. Now you are related to Shuhada, Hamza and Umar. Now you are related to Ali. So don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deprived you of anything. He has given you a better thing in exchange. And here also, and then in the hereafter, you will be in the company of the Prophets and the Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin. Now comes the most important part of this section of this surah. The two ayat now, they are the central theme. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ There are among the people, someone who says, آمنت بالله I believe in Allah I testify أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله فإذا أوذي في الله but when he is persecuted for the cause of his tawheed he is made to suffer جعل فتنة الناس كعذاب الله he fears or abhors the persecution from people as they should fear or abhor the punishment from Allah. جَعَلَ فِتْمَةُ النَّاسِ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ So much alarm, perturb. It's persecution coming from men. Not the divine punishment. If you go back, you will have the most severe divine punishment. Because then it will be nifaq, munafiqat in the eyes of Allah. And the fate of the munafiqeen is, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ The munafiqeen will be in the lowest portion of Jahannam, lowest part of fire. Now it is for you to decide which way to go. You said, I believe in Allah. Now there is persecution. You are asked to make some sacrifices. You are made to suffer. If you turn back, This is the warning. This is the threat. It will be nifaq. You will be counted as munafiq. This is the only place in the whole Makki Quran where lafz-e nifaq, word of nifaq has appeared. There can be no doubt that this surah was revealed in the 5th year after the beginning of Wahi. And here this word is coming. وَلَئِنْ جَاءَ نَصْرٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّا كُنَّا مَعَكُمْ. And if help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will come and say, we were also with you. They will claim their part from the bounties or the booties or the gains of the victory. But today, they don't want to face the hardships. They are shirking this persecution. أَوَ لَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِعَالَمَ بِمَا فِي صُدُورِ الْعَالَمِينَ. What do they think? Do you think Allah doesn't know what is there in the hearts of the people? وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And Allah will surely, definitely, without any doubt. Again, you know, لَا يَعْلَمَنَّ لَا يَقُولُنَّ. This verb, this form of verb, repeat it. I don't think in any other part of the Quran, in 13 ayat, as we are reading, this mode, this verb might have been repeated as it has been repeated here. And this actually, in the first lesson we had, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That same, here, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. It was ayah number 3. Here now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the curtain. There he just covered sadiq and kazib, the true one and the liar. Here the curtain has been raised. The sadiq is the mu'min and the liar is the munafiq. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And Allah will make it manifest, clear. Allah will see and Allah will show to all people who amongst you are real mu'mins. They really believe. They believe from the depth of their hearts. And who are only munafiqeen. Where is Tawbah? Where is Tawbah? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then promise, سَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ اللَّهَ تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. And if one says, I believe in Allah, and then can't take the persecution, can't face the hardships, can't make the sacrifices, he must understand which way he is going. This is the way towards nifaq and munafiqa. And this munafiqa, the punishment of this munafiqa and nifaq is إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَكْفَرِ مِنَ النَّارِ. There is a very similar ayah in Surah Al-Hajj also, in the second section, it's in ayah 11. Very beautiful, but the word nifaq has not appeared there. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ ذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. There are some people who want to obey Allah and worship Allah, but remaining at the sides only. They don't want to plunge into the main current, lest they should drown. Near the coast. They are not ready to go into deep waters. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ فَإِذَا صَابَهُ خَيْرٌ. If خَيْر is coming to him, it's all okay. No demand, no persecution. اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. He remains mutmain. He remains satisfied. He's claiming his iman and Islam. He's making tall claims of love of Allah, love of Muhammad, love of deen. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. And whenever there is some fitna, some testing, some tribulation, then he falls down on his head, on his face. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He has lost دس دنیا ایز ویل ایز دی آخرت. آل ہز گڈ ڈیز گون ان غیر ہبے تک کام آ گئے. ہاؤس ایور بگ بی یہ سم مے بی اف اٹ از ملٹی پلائڈ زیرو اٹ بیکم زیرو. نصاب میں زیرو. آل دی پریئر دیٹ یو ہیو بین سینگ, آل دی سانگز دیٹ یو ہیو کیپٹ, آل دی حج دیٹ یو ہیو پرفارم, آل دی عمرہ دیٹ یو ہیو پرفارم, آل ملٹی پلائڈ بائی زیرو. اف یو ٹیک دس پاتھ کین دیئر بی اے بگر کیچ دین دس. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Now another practical problem. Again to the youth. First, you know, youth, the parents. In addition to the parents, there are the elders, well-wishers. They don't criticize. They are not angry. They give advice. Appear to be giving the best advice for their good, sincere advice. What has happened to you? You are destroying your character. You studied this and this and this, and now you are devoting all your time to this new type of activity. What has happened to you? You have gone mad, crazy. You are not thinking about your children, their education. You are devoting all the time to this job now. Definitely you will suffer in your business. Will you be able to maintain their level of living, standard of living, their level of education? What will happen to you? Now these things are not as critical. Elders, you know, they have the right to advise. Do something, okay, but not to that extent. Must keep in mind your own future. Any bad time can come at any time. You must say something with you. You're spending your making. I told you Abu Qahafa what he said. رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, he also embraced Islam to Abu Bakr. What has happened to you, Abu Bakr? You have finished all your wealth and capital. If you know, it's reminding. If you don't know, please know. Twice it happened in the life of Abu Bakr. He became zero financially. His capital, working capital, when he embraced Islam was 40,000. But when he was going to Hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all that he had taken with him, he didn't leave any penny for the whole family which was there in Makkah. Father was blind when he came. The daughters, granddaughters of Abu Qahafa, daughters of Abu Bakr, Hazrat Asma, Hazrat Aisha, رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہما, the blind father came, grandfather. He has gone. Yes. Has he left anything? Yes, grandfather. And they had some pebbles, and then they put them in some cloth, and then they touched the hand. Yes, father. Yes, grandfather. He has left nothing, not a single penny. And then, at the time of Tabuk, whatever he had presented. Now, for worldly wise people, it's the biggest folly. So this is actually what to those youth. Because youth, you know, they have careers before them. This education, now you must pursue the career in the right earnest. What has happened to you? وقال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا اتبعوا سبيلنا. And those who have disbelieved, who have rejected the da'wah or call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say to those who have believed, who have accepted the faith, اتبعوا سبيلنا, follow in our footsteps, follow our path, don't go to right or left, don't go behind Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't follow him. Well, he is a rich man. His wife is very rich. He has a lot to eat. What will you do? کم ٹو یور سینسز، اتبعوا سبیلنا، فالو اور پاتھ، ولنحمل خطاياكم، اینڈ اف یو تھنک دیٹ دس از اے سن یو ول بی brought to the book on the day of judgment, when we shall shoulder the responsibility. Your sins, we shall carry on our shoulders. We absolve you. Go ahead. We take upon ourselves. We shall answer on your behalf. We shall face the grand accountability of the day of judgment on your behalf. Don't fear. Now, can there be any sincerity more than this? We are ready to take the burden because you are accepting our advice. We shall shoulder the responsibility. Now just imagine for a moment, can these ayat be understood if you don't know the background, what was going on in Makkah? What were the issues? What were the questions faced by the youth? The struggle between khair and shar, the good and evil, the tawheed and shirk. There was no war, there was no fighting. But the hardest tests they were being put to. And they have real problems. And Quran is dealing with their real problems. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَايَاهُمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And beware, they are not going to take the burden of anybody else, not to the least مِنْ شَيْءٍ. وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Beware. If you take to their advice, it doesn't mean that they will be able to answer on your behalf. They will be able to absolve you of your responsibilities on the day of judgment. No. وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. They are liars. They are telling a lie. Because they really don't believe in the day of judgment. They really don't believe in resurrection. So this is a very false argument. If they want to defraud you, they are cheating you, they are deceiving you. وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ. And they will surely, then they'll see, وَلَا يَحْمِلُنَّ, the same word of verb. And they will surely, definitely, without any doubt, they will be carrying their own loads and more loads added to their own loads. Why? Because they are deceiving you. They are adding to their loads. They want to take you astray. They have added to their loads, to their sins, their responsibilities, but never think that you will be absolved of the responsibility that you will have to face if you take to their advice and if you accept their advice and you go their way. I recall the couplet from Faiz, Chhoda nahi zairon ne koi naavi ke dushnam, aur chhooti nahi apno se koi tarze malamat. Very beautiful day. For any person who has some ideal in life, a goal in life, they have accepted some ideology, face value, consciously, sincerely, he wants to pursue it. Whether that ideology was Marxism, even a Marxist has to go through all hardships to bring about a revolution, is not his job. They had to face the firing squads. They had to kiss the gallows. Whole villages ruined like anything by the armies of Tsar. What were the Iranians? What were the treatment they were getting at the hands of the wolves or perhaps khad, that is the name of their secret service. Shower. Khad is perhaps Israeli. Anyhow, every revolution needs these sacrifices, whether it is Islamic or non-Islamic. If you want to live, eat, drink, be merry, that's all. اب تو آرام سے گزرتی ہے آخرت کی خبر خدا جانے اور دن یو کین لیڈ اے ویری ایزی لائف گو اینڈ ریئر یور چلڈرن برنگ دم اپ فیڈ دم فیڈ یور سیلف گو قرآن سے دلائے کا کل انام بل و مغل وی آر لیونگ فار دی سیک آف لیونگ اینڈ آئی یوز ٹو سے They are not passing their lives. Life is passing them. They are not leading the life. That is why, you know, in Surah Al-Mulk is a very beautiful parable. Similarly, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَىٰ أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Imagine two persons. One is dragging himself face downwards, dragging on his stomach, on his abdomen. The other one is standing straight, having a goal before him, and walking straight towards that goal. Who would be more guided? أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ Living due to the animal instincts only. Living for the sake of living. They are dragging themselves on their abdomens. The upper part of the abdomen is what you eat. The lower part is your sexual urge. These are the two main urges which make you live. Nothing else. You are dragging yourself on your abdomens. If you have a goal in life, an ideal, the highest ideal, love of Allah. يَزْدَابَكَ مَنْ دَابَرَ هِمَّةِ مَرْدَانَ We studied it in the last section of Surah Al-Hajj. وَوْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ If the matloob is supreme, your talib will also become, you know, it will go and rise high. If the matloob is very low, the talib will also be very low. The higher the ideal, the higher the personality. Of whom? Of that person who is pursuing that ideal. The lower the ideal, the lower the personality. رَوْفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ So it is here. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ وَلَيُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ And they will certainly be asked on the day of judgment about the false concoctions which they were making. But we shall shoulder your burden. We shall take the responsibility. We shall answer on your behalf. This was all concoctions. Invented falsehood. And due to this invention of falsehood, concoction of false ideas, that they are adding to their own burdens. Their own misdeeds, their own sins, and added to it is their attempt to let these youth also towards the wrong path. So they are adding to their burden, but you will not be saved of your burden. Actually, these 13 ayat, as I told you, on this subject, are the most important, most compact part of the Quran. Now I have added two ayat only to it, 14 and 15. I want to give you an idea. This surah al-Mubarakah consists of seven sections. First one is this, which has ended with Amma Kanu Yaftarun. After this, three sections are devoted to the history of messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show to the Muslims what happened to Nuh and his men. What happened to Ibrahim and Lut And so on. History of the Messenger of Allah, which you know constitutes a very considerable chunk of the Makki surahs. Surah Al-Araf, Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah Al-Yunus, Surah Al-Hud, going on, repeated. Surah Al-Mu'minun, even the smaller Makki surahs. So here I have included only one, and that is the first Rasul of Allah, first Messenger of Allah, that is Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. We wrote it. Hazrat Adam was Nabi but not Rasul. Rasul is a person who is sent to someone. Rasul, first Rasul is Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. First Nabi is Adam. According to the Quran, only one Nabi has been mentioned between Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Nuh, and he is Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wa salam. But in the Torah, his name is Hanuk. And Torah mentions another Nabi of Allah before Hazrat Nuh, and he is Sis. But there is no mention of Sis alayhi salatu wa salam in the Quran. But these things we can take from Torah. This history of the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can take it. And he is called Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam Adam al-Sani. Because till that time, the progeny of Adam was limited to one region of the world. It has not grown and gone far and wide. And when that nation was destroyed, after him, the whole human population of today, that is the progeny of three sons of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. The fourth one remained kafir, he drowned with the kuffar before the eyes of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Bunayya Arkab Ma'ana, he said at the last point also, oh my dear son, come, ride this ark. He said, no, Sa'adi ila al-Jabalin, Yashimanu min al-Ma'a. I just go to this mountain, it will save me from this water. Kala la aqim al-yawma min rabbi rabbi illa mar-rahim. Wa hala baynahum al-maud, wa kana min al-mughraqeen. That was the fourth son. Three, Ham, Sam, and Yaqib. And Quran said at one place, wa ja'allahum al-baqeen, ja'allahum al-baqeen. Only the progeny of these three sons of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, they are the fathers of the whole human population of the earth. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. And we have sent Nuh to his nation. إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ is very important. I mentioned it before also. That before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Rasul, every Messenger of Allah was sent to his nation only. To some region, definite region. To Sodom and Amora, two cities, twin cities, Hazrat Lut was sent. To Fir'aun and his people, Hazrat Musa was sent. To sons of Bani Israel, progeny of Israel, Hazrat Isa was sent. إِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا إِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا إِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. And every Rasul addressed, يَا قَوْمِ يَا قَوْمِ يَا قَوْمِ, oh my people, oh my nation. Save one, and that is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Just yesterday we read these ayat. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have not sent you, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the whole of humanity, all mankind. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He remained with them for thousands of years, except 50. 950 years. فَأَخَذَهُمُ الطُّوفَانِ. Now this fa actually, it is usually for taqeed, for something which happens afterwards. So by that, the Mufassirin have inferred that 950 years were the period of his dawah, his call, before the flood, before the deluge, before that punishment, before that azab. But Torah gives a different story. After 650 years of his dawah, this deluge of flood came, and after that he remained for 300 years more in this world, with his progeny which was spreading now. Now I cannot decide between the two. Because fa is not always for taqeed. Fa sometimes is only equal to wa, which is ataq. But sometimes it is for taqeed. Sequence. Timely sequence. Summa is definitely for taqeed. When summa comes, it is definitely after. It's the timely sequence. But fa has both the aspects. Either simple atf, or it is for taqeed also. So if it is for taqeed, then you 950 years are before the deluge or the flood. If it is not, it is only wa, then actually, maybe that what Torah says is correct. We can't decide. فَأَخَذَهُمُ الطُّفَانُ وَهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. They were taken over by the deluge, the flood. And they were the evil doers. They were the unjust ones. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَصْحَابَ السَّفِينَةِ. Now we have fa is for taqeed here. After the flood, we saved him and the people who were there with him in the ark. And it seems that only the three sons and their wives, a few people more, maybe they were the servants, the lower strata of the society, because in those days tribal systems, so it might have happened that their progeny didn't, you know, continue. But it seems definite from some places of the Quran that after Nuh, all human beings are the progeny of the three sons of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallahu a'lam. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَصْحَابَ السَّفِينَةِ. We saved him and those who were there in the ark. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا آيَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we made it a sign, a symbol for all of the world, for all the nations of the world. Now what this ha means here, what's the marja of this pronoun or zamir? There are two opinions. جَعَلْنَاهَا سَفِينَةً. That ark of Noah, and I believe in it, will come in the light someday. And it will prove what Quran said was correct. It will be one of those things about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, as we find in Surah Al-Hadid wa Sanda, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We shall go on showing to them our signs and symbols in the afaq, in this universe, as well as in their own selves, within their own bodies, which will prove to them that Quran is haq. As you know, the science is progressing towards that. What Quran has been saying, everything is coming to be true. Whatever has not been proved, it will be proved, inshallah. And I feel it is for Safina. But some people interpret that ha is for the waqia, total happening. To this it is referring, that this happening we made a sign for the whole of the mankind. Now what far has it been quoted here? That is to show not only to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also to his followers, the believers at Makkah. Number one, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am quoting now ayah, Al-Ahqaf, ayah number 35. Wasbir kama sabara ulul azm min ar-rusul. Have patience. Show forbearance. Show steadfastness. Just as our ulul azm messengers, the great messengers that we have been sending, who had high will, strong character. Just as they showed forbearance, fortitude, 900 years. If they call you a Majnoon, if they call you a Shair or a Sahir, if they call you a cheat, Sahirun Kazzab, it's nothing. What did they say to you? He's gone mad. He's manufacturing this ark. Now he will have this boat floating on this ark. No sea here, no water here. So as you have to listen. فَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهَجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. And just imagine, for those who have believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, final victory will be yours. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ عَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah has decided it forever that He and His messengers will succeed and triumph. This is the period of tribulations, trials, testings. You have to face them. You have to go through them. There is a wisdom behind them that we shall discuss inshallah if it becomes possible in another lesson. But actually I can't go into that detail. What's the wisdom behind it? It is this persecution. Allah Ta'ala is allowing these people to persecute you. There is a wisdom behind it. And they are only able to do this because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has okayed it. Okay. Otherwise they couldn't do it. So just have patience and have the firm belief that victory will be yours. You will triumph. But Muhammad told, just remember that hadith, you are making haste. You are showing istirjal, ujla. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. The time will come that a rider on a camel or a horse will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut, travel through the breadth of the Arabian Peninsula. It is the broadest in the south as yet. And he will have no fear of anybody except Allah. All the wolves of the jungle, he might have to fear them, that they might not attack his sheep or goats. None else. The ruler will be Allah, and you know it will be all peace. Salam and Islam and Amun and Iman. Just recall the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he saw the new moon, the new month, he used to pray to Allah. Allahumma ahilahu alayna bil amn wal imani wal salamati wal islam. Rabbi wa rabbuka Allah. Hilal rushdin wa khair. Hilal rushdin wa khair. Hilal rushdin wa khair. Oh Allah, with this moon, with the month which is beginning, you begin it with, for us, with amn and iman. And salamati and islam. So actually amn and iman, same. Salama and Islam, same. When Islam will triumph, there will be all salama. Qilan salaman salama. Peace, tranquility. And there will be peace within you also, that amn inside. I have a small booklet, Quran and the World Peace. I have discussed these things in that booklet. It's very noteworthy that both the basic terms of Islam or our deen, they are derived from amn and peace. From amn iman, from salama islam. They are the basic terminology of Islam. Now I want to just give you one thing more. A very renowned scholar of India, he had just now died a few months back, Shams Naveed Usmani, rahimahullah. He took very long time studying the scriptures of the Hindus. And there had been a French author. He has taken 40 years spent 40 years of his life in studying the Hindu scriptures. And he has come to the conclusion that Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam is the person whom they call Manu. It was changed from Nuh to Mahanu. Maha means the great. Mahanu. And then it became Manu. So Manu and Manu Samirti, the book of Manu. So he has proved it nearly. I at least agree with him. Because Quran says, وَإِن مِّن قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا فَلَا فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. There had been no city, no town where we have not sent any nazir, any warner. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. For every nation we sent guidance and the people who guided them. How come these countries can be without any messengers of Allah? And because they are also the progeny of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So there is the tradition that this, some of them reached there in a boat, and then they started this. They believe that actually the whole extension of human population started from there. Ayodhya, they say Ayodhya means it's a city where there can be no war, haram. Yud they call war. Ayodhya, there can be no war. Peace, haman. So these are very revealing things in that book. The name is, doesn't sound very well. Abhi Na Jaage To, that is the title of the book. It is published in India in Rampur. He lived in Rampur, died there. And when I consulted our experts, our scholars who have studied these nations, and the progeny of the three sons of Nuh, they also say, the Ham, the third son, Sam, Ham and Japheth. Sam is the grandfather of Semitic nations. Ham is the father of Asindo, Walhindo, Walqibto, Wal-Sudan. This Egypt, Sudan and Sindh and Hind. And historically, the link was Yemen in between these two. And this is the region where the progeny of Ham settled and lived and prospered. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nation, this progeny of Ham, guidance for the future. And because on Sunday I'm going to speak on this subject, Islam and the Indian subcontinent. So I mentioned this also regarding Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.